Brethren, I want to start by asking a question. How precious is good news? How precious is good news? That's the topic of my split sermon today. The purpose is to explain what is good news, who are the custodians of good news, where would you go to find good news, and what will good news do for mankind? The split sermon seeks to answer those questions. Brethren, most of us will agree, if not all, that good news is a rarity in today's world. Even when something is good, classified as good, it comes with a lot of ifs and buts. We are constantly faced with bad news in this age in which we live. And it has been like that in all previous ages. Because it's a plan. It's planned like that. The light bearer don't bring any more truth anymore. Brings lies and it brings bad news. Our bad news is a result of being planned that way. It just don't happen by chance. Nothing much happened by chance in our spiritual realm. So we are constantly bombarded by bad news. A few days ago, a mother was expecting her young son to return home from working at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, minutes away from home, within walking distance from his home. His mother's peace was, and her relatively quiet evening was suddenly shattered by bad news of her son's car accident that led to his death. We left some young kids as well. The urging to visit the scene of that accident to see her son, in the need of the jaws of death to free him in the face of death. There he was facing death, but he needed the jaws of death to assist him out of the position that he was in. That was bad news that could last for a lifetime. After that piece of bad news, you don't need any more bad news. That could last you for a whole lifetime. But I know that that wasn't the first or the last piece of bad news that that mother will receive. Many in our own society and those in the developed Western societies are looking for answers, at least for reasonable explanations as to the negative behavior of our people, especially our young ones, but not exclusive to our young ones, because many times their bad examples, their poor examples could be seen in the aged ones. But we are concerned about the young. After they have been provided with some wonderful opportunities that were made available, that were not available to a generation or so ago, was not available to my generation, and we are happy that we reached the stage where young people could be afforded such wonderful opportunities. But is the use any better? Has it improved the use that we hear from day to day in our society? Nations, they're making threats to wipe out each other. Nations are taking constant actions that and saying things which ultimately destroy trust and create the suspicion that they are up to no good. Knowledge has been increased by unimaginable leaps and bounds. Not just increase. This present generation on earth has greater exposure to knowledge than any other previous generation. People can now equip themselves, the young especially, with just about any knowledge of their choosing that can allow them to be more easily developed financially, physically, and yet the use is bad mainly. Gone are the days of paying for an apprenticeship. When I was younger, and you need to learn carpentry, mechanics, masonry, whatever, you pull, or your parents shoulder the burden of the apprenticeship just to learn a little something that would take you to the next step. But today that is a thing of the past. Today we are exposed to all the information that Google and YouTube and other information giants provides. In 1990, there was no such thing as Google or YouTube in 1990. We live in an age of the explosion of knowledge, an increase just like the prophet Daniel recorded, just like Daniel wrote, but has not been successful in reducing the bad news. All the leaps and bounds in technology that should improve our lot, we still are constantly faced with this bad news. Nearly on a daily basis, we are shocked by the destructive capacity of some of our youth. And we are left to ask the question, did that really happen? And brethren, the bad news of today will not improve as time goes on. It will not. In fact, brethren, it will tend to get worse. Let us look at 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And brethren, there's a question that we should ask ourselves here. It says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. You don't seduce somebody that is just like you, really. Who are the evil men trying to seduce? Maybe we should be careful as to our contact, our relationship with evil men who will wax worse and worse trying to seduce us, to get us just as they are. And they'll be deceived as well. It says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Bad news seem to even to be ever present, so much so that it restricts our full enjoyment of the little that we classify as good. Nearly on a daily basis, we are shocked. Yes, brethren, good news is a rarity. It's not as common as it should be. God wants good news to be common. And one day, it will be. We are constantly exposed to scandal after scandal in political service, selfish ambitions gone overboard, people making others to suffer and to die in order to attain wealth and power in various trading practices, especially drug trade. But with all this bad news, all is not lost. There's good news. Very, very good news. Great news, we should call it, but we settle for the word good news. We, the disciples of Jesus Christ, the Church of the Eternal One, are the entrusted custodians of good news. That's the contrast. There's a lot of bad news, but God has entrusted us to take good news to the world. This is what our God is focusing on. That is what our mission is, and that is what we must focus on. God's church is the entrusted custodian of good news. And we are instructed as to what must be done with that precious good news that we bear. That has benefited us tremendously and changed our lives around. So much so that although there might be lots of bad news around, we understand why. Why the bad news? Why it is happening? And we know that a time will come when that news will not be bad anymore. Like the song that we sang last, it won't be long. We must take this precious truth. God's word is true. The good news of the coming kingdom of God to every male and every female on the earth. That must be our objective. That is our mission, our command. But it's not easy. It won't be easy in this world. It won't be easy at all. It's not an easy task. It's a task that God has to be constantly with each and every one of us to accomplish. It's a miracle, really. Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. That is where the challenge for God's church lies. We remember Mr. Meeker last year and his experience. And brethren, that is going to increase. It isn't going to get any better. It is going to get worse. There are going to be more attacks and more arrests, more attempts to keep that good news from getting to who needs it most. That is the news that the world needs. That's the solutions to mankind's problems. In Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, this is referring to Jesus, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There's no use, brethren, that a person can receive, and we can attest to this, that is of far more personal value than the gospel of the kingdom of God. None of us in here will ever hear any use that is better than the gospel, or when we heard about the gospel of the kingdom of God. God has placed first things first. That is what we should be asked to seek. That is what mankind needs to seek. The kingdom of God. God has placed that first. This gospel to every nation and for every male and every female. It is important. The gospel of the kingdom must be preached to the entire world in order that man's faith in many areas be redirected. Sometimes man is not without faith, but his faith has been engineered to the wrong person. It is planned that way. Many nations worship. Many nations believe in God, but they don't believe in the true God. And that is not by coincidence, brethren. It is only when we ponder the scriptures well that we understand that this is by design. This is no coincidence. Nothing that we are experiencing in this life, this is no coincidence, anything. This don't happen. It just don't happen. Why is it that God wants the earth to have good news, and we're always faced with bad news? What is wrong? Who is responsible for it? There's a source. There's a source. There's a reason for that. It is planned. So mankind's faith needs to be redirected from false gods, false saviors, to the true and living God. Man's doubting must be replaced by faith in the only one who is able to save us from our sins, from deception, and the destruction which comes from death. We can and must become totally free from the course of this world. The scriptures refer to what we were living before as a course, a pathway that we follow. That is not accidental. It's a course of this world. And it leads us away from God Almighty. We can and must, brethren, become totally free from the course of this world, which an enemy had plotted for us. It's a plot to destroy humanity. Let us read Romans 10, and let us look at verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If faith comes by hearing, and it's impossible to please God without faith, how important, brethren, is hearing God's words, God's truth, as came out in the first split sermon? How important then is hearing the truth? When we sit down and we analyze What has made the change, that great change in our lives, and make the change in everyone's life that has accomplished change? We always ask, brethren, we ask one another, when did you first hear about the truth? Important. Nothing can be done without it. There's no salvation without hearing it. It don't come automatic. God has to bring us to that stage where we hear for the first time the truth, in which at that time a seed has been planted. A small little mustard grain has been planted. The seed of faith has been planted. And it must grow in us and increase in order for us to believe the word of God, follow the word of God, receive the Spirit of God after repentance. That is how the process works with everyone. The hearing of that gospel message, the hearing of that truth, is a must. Without it, we are all dead men. All of us here that are God's people have experienced that first time. And most of us here have experienced a growth from that first time in faith. And it is my hope, brethren, that we continue that faith that is so necessary. This process is needed for the entire earth, all of mankind, no matter where they are, where they dwell, what their conditions are now. It must change to the same condition that we experience when that seed of faith was sown and it grew and it led to repentance. Without hearing the word of God, there's no repentance. We wait for the return of Jesus Christ because his word gives us hope. His word, the hope that we need for repentance and the victory over sin. We need that, those words. And to conquer the death that always stalks us, always close by. The whole world needs to taste the hope that we have had in Christ and his word. So every male and every female in every nation, some of them vast nations, need to hear those truths that will bring them hope after generations of misinformation and deception, deliberate, not by chance. It's a setup, not by men just deciding they're going to worship a piece of rock. There's a spirit behind false worship. And he started it very early with mankind in that garden. And he has not ceased since then. When his task as a light bringer was supposed to point to God, he accepted a lesser task. To lie. To deceive. To bring death and destruction to us. He is a mortal enemy. Whenever we look around, all the death and the dying and the bad news, it's not by happenstance. But the whole world need to taste what we have tasted. The whole world needs the hope after all of that deception. Let us look at Romans 10, verse 15. Romans 10 and verse 15. And how shall we And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How beautiful are their feet? Beautiful feet are not a result of beautiful tattoos. Those feet are not beautiful. Some of those feet may very well perish in the dust of the ground. Beautiful feet are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, which should be our feet. That is preaching the gospel, that is assisting in the preaching of the gospel. And assisting in the preaching of the gospel is so very important. I would like to place myself in the shoes of Mr. Franks or our top leaders. It might look easy, might even look glamorous, might even look like a position that we want to be in. But when one considers it carefully, the task you're given, the difficulty of that task. And I remind us again what happened last year. You can go to rejoice before God, but the evil one has a different plan and he picks you up, casts you into prison. Prison is his thing. I don't know of any prisons in Israel, but prison is his thing. So he likes to cast people into prison. So I don't think that you should be too offended when he is placed into a prison, an abyss. So that is how our feet become beautiful, when we are supportive of God's word and when we are preaching the gospel of the kingdom to the world. What effect, brethren, can this good news have on those who hear it and take the decision to choose life in the kingdom of God? Acts 2:38 tells us, Peter, Peter explained how forgiveness of sins, redemption comes. Acts 2:38, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And brethren, in another scripture states very clearly that there's no other name given among men that men might be saved. So all men have to come to a oneness of the faith. There's not a group of people out there doing their own thing and another group doing their own thing. We all have to come to that oneness of faith. And then in Acts 2:39, for the promise is to you and to your children. To us, brethren, to our children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. We don't know how many God will call. But he promises to them as well. Some nations who at this point in time cannot decide that they just want to read the scriptures, pick up the Bible and read Matthew and so on. It doesn't work like that in some nations at all. That's what makes the work of Mr. Franks and the leaders of God's church so challenging, because they are aware of the instructions and the commands that they have, the commission that they have to fulfill, but they also are very, very aware of all the dangers and the pitfalls, and they are great, and they are planned. You're coming up against the gates of hell. You're not just a man out there. Maybe the world's churches are like that. A man get up there and make some money and talk any old thing. But not God's church. Your responsibility is a serious one. Our leaders' responsibilities are very, very serious. And danger, life-threatening danger, is involved. Not only for them, but for us who believe the same thing as them, and we who would support them. So the promise is to those who are far off too, that God wants to call many more and enlighten them. It's the preaching of the gospel is a salvation issue for mankind. There's no greater gift that a man can get, being saved from destruction and having eternal life. And it must be done, the preaching of the gospel, this wonderful hope of salvation, it must be done by those who God has called and placed his spirit into, to deliver mankind from that spirit of spiritual deception, spiritual enslavement, that sometimes is not just spiritual enslavement. It is physical enslavement as well. There's a lots of do's and don'ts you cannot do. You cannot read the Bible as you would like. You cannot say what you would like. You cannot teach. Because it's banned. Who banned it? Who wants the good news not heard? Who? And who is able to see that occurs generation after generation after generation? We live 80 or 90 years and we die and go along. But some of these nations have been entrapped in this thing for long times, maybe thousands of years. They need relief from that bondage, that enslavement, from lies and all sorts and iniquities. The course of this world is plotted by the spirit who is an adversary. Let us look at Ephesians. Ephesians 2. And I'm going to read verse 1 and 2. Ephesians 2. Verse 1 and 2. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, when in times past ye walk according to the course. It's a course. To the course of this world. That's how we walk. In a pathway that was laid for us, that is destructive, that leads us away from the eternal one. It's a course that we follow, that the world follow. Now, we are following a different course. We are not walking according to that pathway. But a lot of the world, too much of the world, is still entrapped in it. And even more so than we were. We had in the Western world, we had a bit of freedom to walk away. It's not so in most of these countries that masquerade as powerful nations. Not masquerade, because they are powerful nations. But they're not godly nations, and you will pay the price for worshiping differently. It says in verse 2, wherein in times past you walk according to the course of this world. We used to walk that way too, according to the prince of the power of the air. See who is behind it? See who is directing it? Satan is behind it. The way that we used to walk before, the way that the world is entrapped now, a lot of the world, the prince of the power of the air, we used to walk according to his course, his pathway. He said, we'll walk this way. Should not surely die. You will live. We didn't talk about anything in misery, eternal misery. This is who mankind follow. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom, in verse 3 also, we all had our conversations in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you're saved. So that is what we are up against. It's a plot to kill us. We must pray, brethren, that the gospel message and the word of God have a free course. The course is not free, even in some nations, Western world, it's not free. And some who claim that it's free, there are restrictions, serious restrictions as well. And there are long lists of nations that we would easily recognize. We should pray that God remove all of those barriers, all those hurdles that exist right now to the preaching of the gospel and the rescuing of mankind, offering mankind salvation. For hundreds of years, people who live in the shadow of the Himalaya mountains have worshipped their gods. Some large populations have passed laws that remove the freedom to change their religion. Can't even change your religion. You can't have a change of mind. You can't have an enlightenment. You can have that enlightenment, but you might end up dead. Some of them have passed laws. Laws are entrenched that remove the freedom to change their religion. For another, therefore, they become imprisoned in their consciences. They might, even if they want to change, they can't change it, or if they really desire it, they have to hide it, conceal it. It's like once wrong, always wrong. A seemingly inescapable bondage that Satan to this day still has a lot of the world in. I mean real bondage. That we in the Western world would find difficulty relating to when it comes to religion. So if you grew up in that type of society, you're in it and there's no way out. Who's done that? There's no way out. Can't say I have the freedom, I'm a human being, to make up my mind, I'm going to join with that sect over there and accept what they... No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work like that at all. There's a power behind it. The preaching of the gospel and the Spirit of God working miracles is the only source of freedom for these people. Only God could save them from whatever trap they're in. One can be imprisoned in some countries for spreading the gospel. In other countries, barriers and great obstacles are placed in the way of spreading the gospel. You're not free to assemble. We remember Rwanda and Burundi and Bolivia. We see a different type of climate, unrest, that prevents God's people from fellowshipping as they would like. They face many different challenges. This is the course of the world. How precious is good news? The use of Christ's coming kingdom. How precious is it, really? A value cannot be placed on the good news of Christ's soon coming kingdom. His awesome, righteous rule. No value. Its value exceeds all the silver and gold we know, all the diamonds we know, all the precious and semi-precious stones we know. The value of the gospel of the kingdom far exceeds all of that. It must be our precious song in the night that we sing daily till every male and female on the earth has heard about the soon coming king. And brethren, darker days will come, real black days. And this must be entrenched when our nights come, while we are still experiencing daytime, when we are being sought after to be killed. Our goal must remain the same. It must never change for all of mankind. The news must fly over the earth. It must sail over the seas. If mankind is to be rescued, we must never change from our objective of spreading the good news of Christ's coming kingdom. To usher in a new government, finally, good news will be no longer a rare thing, but good news will be accessible to every ear, and good news will never lack of a carrier. It will be spread. One day soon, when our Lord reigns, the good news will be every creature can learn righteous ways that brings happiness, joy, and peace. Hunger, starvation, homelessness will not coexist with abundance, shall not be, because the kingdom of God that we look forward to will be producing the benefits of that kingdom under a new rule, under a rule unlike any other rule. There will never, ever be a rule in this universe like the rule of Jesus Christ. And why God has given it so, God has placed him over all his creation, and no one can change that. It's a reality. These things that we know are realities that we should be willing to die for. And certainly at the least, we should be readily be supportive of. Should never be said that we are not supporting God's work, God's servants. It's an important task that they have. Very important. And it can be life-threatening. Very easy, the tables can be turned. The elderly can enjoy in the kingdom. The elderly can enjoy a safe stroll in the streets and sit and view the stars shining in all their glory. Take grandchildren for a walk without the fear and the concern that we have at present. nor kidnapping of the elderly from their homes. Children will play without fear. No wild beasts or dogs will maul them. They will be free to play with the animal of their choice or their parents' choice, whichever one is appropriate. The pollution of rivers, seas, and oceans will be cleansed. There will be safe enjoyment of the outdoors. The deserts will be habitable once more and produce food in abundance. The land will yield great increase in crops, good food without chemicals, without pesticides, will become plentiful all over the earth. The sower and the harvester shall collide. A new age of true learning will soon dawn. An age that is superior to this one. A new age of peace and harmony and rejoicing, superior to this one. A new age of beauty and abundance, superior to this age. The kingdom of God ruled over by Christ and his saints will be the answer to all of the planned bad news that we encounter from day to day, that mankind has been made to endure. Support our church leaders, brethren, and our regional directors. They need our support to spread the gospel of the kingdom of God. None doubting, no doubts, no second guessing them. And let this gospel go out, fly all over the earth. Spread all over the seas, sail all over the seas. This is the good news every human being needs to hear. We are a part of disseminating that good news. Brethren, hold fast that news, and as it has benefited us, so let it benefit the entire earth.